world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so everybody, everybody say hi, say hey to Rochelle out there. Rochelle, I don't know what happened to Rochelle. I do, I've been communicating with her. Everybody said, where'd Rochelle go? She thinks, I want this to sound okay. She felt like she got kicked out or something, like she got banned. First of all, we never ever ban anybody here, but something's happened that she's not able, hadn't been able to get back in. I don't know what it is. Maybe we can get Spencer or somebody loose on it. She listens every day, yada, yada, yada. So good morning, Rochelle. Good to hear you out there. Man, oh man, oh man. A lot of stuff, golly. A lot going on, isn't it? A lot going on. And we'll try to make some sense of it here if we can today. All right? And just appreciate you all being here and appreciate all the efforts. And see that we're in a, with what's going on down in the hurricane area, we'll say this again. We're in transition. They're in transition down there from a rescue, which actually literally trying to save people and save their lives, to now a more of a reconstruction mode. So we have ministries that have been on the ground down there. How long ago did that thing happen? Has it been a month yet? It's been a month, hasn't it? And so those ministries have been down. They've been on the ground for a month. And they're to the point where they're cleaning the house. They're leaving. They've done the rescue. Now it's moving into the next phase. And one of the problems we're struggling with is as this transition takes place, where are the places that we can go? That's really all we're dealing with. And so we're not trying to stop anybody from going down. We're trying to make the transition easy. We're trying to give you a good place to go to. I understand your houses are getting filled up with stuff. You want to get rid of it. I understand all that. But we got, again, too many chefs spoil the broth. So Clay's working on it and Gary's working on it. In fact, Clay's in here today. Clay, what's going on down there? Tell us a story, but not a life story.
Well, we'll take as much time as you like, Coach. Good to see everybody in here. I'm glad to be a part of this team. And I want to let you know that, first off, that Pass the Salt Ministries always does their best job to get the money where it needs to go. Anybody can throw money out there, but they could throw it in the wrong places. Coach is one of those people that takes his time and makes sure the money gets to where it needs to go. And that's what he's doing right now. And try to give you some, and Coach, you like I say, take this wherever you want it.
Well, just tell us what you've seen down there, Clay, because you've been still working on the ground. You've been down out there now for a week, almost 10 days maybe, right? Or however long it's been.
Yeah, 3 weeks that I've been involved. And, well, what's going on is here's the situation. There's people that got their homes completely wiped away. They even got their sheds wiped away. Some people don't even, they got thrown out of their house, literally.
They don't even have a garage to put stuff in. Go ahead.
Right. They don't have a car. Some of them don't have a car. Some of them don't have a shed or a home. And so you basically have a homeless person. So you got all these donations coming in from all over the country, and you want to get them to the people. Well, the problem is the people don't have any place to put the donations. They don't have a shed. So what they're trying to do is some people are going through trying to build sheds and put a lock on the door. That way, if they've got a tent outside, they can try to protect the goods that are put in the shed from looters. If they don't stay right there on their property, somebody might come by and knock the lock off the shed and take their stuff. But if they don't have a shed, they can't even take anything. And they can't
come. If they come and they fill up their trunk with stuff and they go home 2 days later, all that stuff's gone. They got to go get, because there's no place to store stuff.
That's right. So what I'm hearing is a lot of suppliers are getting out to the field, and the person that has their home devastated don't have any place to put the the supplies. So the people with a home are coming and getting the supplies and taking that home and putting it at their house. Because what else are you going to do with it? It's a terrible situation. So right now, before we keep it, what's happening is the supplies are coming in and they're trying to vet people to make sure that they are the ones that are victims.
Clay, let me stop you a second, okay? Because you've been embedded with Grindstone, right? And Grindstone is pulling up. They're leaving, right? Talk about that a second.
All right. Well, the reason Grindstone's leaving is because it was a rescue recovery effort, and now it's a rebuild effort that's about to begin.
And they do rescue and recovery.
That's right. So Appalachia Service Project is a Christian nonprofit ministry that's moving into the area. Supposedly, they're setting up camp the week after the election, waiting until everything cools down. They're going to build, they've committed to rebuild or repair at least 200 homes. They've got the funding for the first 25 already. They said that they'd stay as long as they need to and build as many homes as they can as long as they have donations coming in.
So then, Clay, what I'm saying is we're moving from rescue to recovery. That's where we are. It's a transition that's taking place right now. My friends, listen, I don't want to put anybody on the ground down there during the election and the short time after the election. To me, there's just no wisdom at all in doing that, okay? So that's kind of why we pushed the clutch in here a little bit. Go ahead, Clay.
All right. The other thing is the donations. Everybody's generous. They're sending all kinds of donations, but there's no way to tally how much stuff's coming in from one ministry or one base to another field base. So we could have enough toothbrushes possibly to give everybody in the country a toothbrush, but we might not have enough chainsaw blades or propane tanks or space heaters or something like that. So the thing is right now we're at a period to where the donations are not going out to the people. They're getting out in the field, but they've had to put a halt on getting them to just everybody because you want to make sure they're getting to the victims. So we've got to kind of hold the donations in some cases until the victims actually have a place to put the donations. Because if we put it all out in the field right now, they're not going to have anywhere to put it. Then
people might actually steal it.
Well, they are. They're saying that there's stuff ending up on Facebook Marketplace and the flea market and you know, at the flea market and stuff like that. You know, you try to vet them, and what they told me to do is use your best judgment. So you go out there like yesterday and a guy pulls up in an old beat up pickup truck and you could tell they hadn't cleaned the bed of the truck out for years. He's got stumps and everything in the back of it, and he's there to pick up water, propane, and fuel, you know. And all you can do is say, "Hey, are you a victim?" And if he says, "Yes, I'm a victim," you know, but he didn't. He said, "I'm not actually a victim. My house came out pretty well, but all my neighbors are victims, and they don't have any way to come up here. They're busy working on their places." So what are you going to do? You're going to turn him out? So you give him what he says he needs and send him on his way and pray that he's doing the right thing.
Okay, Clay, so we're getting the picture here. You've been embedded with him you've been there all week. You go down there every day, right? How far is it for you, Clay? 40 minutes or so?
It's 45 minutes.
Okay, and you go down there every day, so you see exactly what's going on. And you're giving us good guidance that right now is don't be sending stuff down to Grindstone because they're clearing stuff out. They're picking up and leaving, right?
Yeah, the only thing they're really taking right now is essential things such as chainsaw bars, propane heaters, chains for the chainsaw, oil, anything that's going to help people get through the winter. Because, like I say, a lot of these people are living like they're camping, and they're saying that some of these places are definitely not going to get power restored until spring.
Wow. Okay, so Clay, thanks for being down there. I hope everybody gets an idea what. We're not sitting back here twiddling our funds. Gary Pierce is on top of it as well. Clay's down there embedded with it. Steve Deck went down there. We have boots on the ground people who are giving us advice about what there's. Again, I'm going to say this. I am not going to put any of our people on the ground prior post-election. I'm not going to do it. Who knows what kind of hell is going to break loose after the election. Gary, do you have anything to add? Thanks, Clay. Gary,
you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Thank you for that update, Clay. That was good. Going forward, what we find out is that, you know, I've had many contacts and calls to churches, and they are inundated with volunteers, the ones that are doing more than just collection and distribution of supplies. Some of them are putting people up, and they're full. They can't take any more. There are organizations down there, and some of them, like you stated, Grindstone pulling out, and others they're full of volunteers. They cannot take any other volunteers right now. And so what we've done is we've applied for going down in middle November to go down in these organizations will house us. They will feed us, and they will give us work to do.
So we're working right now, Gary. Maybe you don't know this.
And right now, we've applied.
Let me say this real quickly, Gary. Right now, I'm communicating with Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee, we're about to buy $5,000. We are, those of you who've donated, we're about to buy $5,000 in coats. Bobby's working on a deal that we'll buy the coats, $5,000 worth of coats, and the coats will go down there and it will be distributed. So we got a lot of hands going on here, okay? I want you to understand. And this isn't just all we do here. Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
The 2 weeks, week of November 10th and the week of November 17th are the two target weeks right now that I've applied for. And waiting for a response back, whether it's a confirmation of those weeks or when they see in their schedule that we can accommodate people. So that's what's going on there. As far as clothing, I'll tell you what, go from head to toe. These people we're going into winter. So start with hats, scarves, sweatshirts, hooded sweatshirts, coats, gloves, coarse pants, long underwear, tops and bottoms,
socks
and boots. You can just go clothing top to bottom. Thank you, Coach.
Yep. All right. So, folks, we're working on it. Neil, I know you got some good advice. Come on in, Neil.
Well, we're going to be sending a truck on November 3rd down to Greenville, Tennessee. There's going to be a forward operating base in Truckee, Tennessee. There's a lady up here in central Wisconsin that's organizing it. Our company is giving the truck. They're asking for a lot of generators. They found some warehouse or some, like, I don't want to say abandoned grocery store, but grocery store is going to be the place where the goods will be taken. And it's not going to be so much, like you say, search and rescue, but like Grindstone would say, it's going to be Amazon on side-by-sides going up the hills. And Mary and I have put a big push forth to get generators. So right now we have 6 generators. We're going to be asking people to give generators because they're going to need electricity for some type of heat or construction or whatever. But that's what we got going on
and
here.
Neil, what
Ray
about,
and company,
what about,
they sent some money.
What about fuel to fight? Just think of one problem almost creates another one, doesn't it? You get somebody a new generator, now you got to get them fuel.
Yeah.
It's like it never ends. Really.
And I was wondering if we should strap a gas can to every generator. That might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy, criminy. So, God bless everybody that was doing what they're doing. How's your wheel coming there, Neil?
Good. I'm going to get my prosthetic on the just before Christmas. Not for Christmas, just before Thanksgiving, and I'm trying to talk my wife and let me do the turkey trot on Thanksgiving.
I love your attitude, man. I love your attitude. By the way, real quickly, is Ray LeBlanc in here? Ray, are you in here? Wouldn't you know it, again, the day that I want to get Ray in, because we want to do a prayer vigil. We want to do a prayer vigil for the election. And Ray, yesterday, somebody get a hold of Ray, tell him to tune in. Maybe you can give us some details on that, because we want to make sure we get that thing up and running as well. I feel like I'm again all over the place this morning, but I just needed to clean some stuff up here this morning. Mary Beth, come on in.
I was just wondering. Sidetracked here. I was just wondering, like, I think I want to make a trip down there sometime, and I'm hoping that God provides an opportunity for me to go with somebody from the whole group. Maybe we'll see. I'm just interested in maybe going down or something. I just don't, I can't during October. I can't during November, I don't think, but maybe. Whatever.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see. It will be a life-changing experience for anybody that goes. Laura Ann.
Good morning. I've been working on organizing a prayer vigil for the election on the 3rd at 7 o'clock at night, so I can talk to you about the information.
Okay, we need to talk to Ray LeBlanc because he has one going as well. And so, again, you can't have too many of them, right? Don't get me wrong, but no need to do duplication of effort and stepping on each other's. I'm not saying you're doing that, Lorraine. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I'm doing it with His Glory and Global Vision Bible Church hub leader.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Just we don't all be blocking the same man. I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. Come on in, Clay. I'm going somewhere today. Hang in there with me.
Yeah, I just want to tell people, I know that they got a heart of wanting to come down and help and be a part of this, but I just want to explain that we're living in a part of the country to where there's a lot of people wanting to help their neighbors and their friends, and they're out there, boots on the ground, doing the work. And what's needed is people that can go into the hollows and get on a piece of earth moving equipment, or have the ability to rebuild homes and put flooring in, carpet, roofs, walls, foundations, move dirt, shovel dirt. You know, that's the kind of people that need to be coming in town. And in a lot of cases, they're going to have to be roughing it out in the woods as the temperatures are already getting real cold. And they've had 1.5, 2 inches of snow and ice on the mountaintops already. And, you know, if you want to come in and just help sort and move some clothing and stuff around, there's plenty of people we've got plenty of people right now that's willing to do that. And if you come down to do that kind of thing, then you end up just being another mouth to feed, at this point.
Yeah. So just please try to trust us that we know what we're doing. We don't want to send people down there without a place to stay, without a job to do. And we don't want to be a burden to people down there. Cool. Mary Beth has hand still up. Then I'm going to move on. Okay.
I just want you to know that I'm willing. So if you think of me, if Lord brings me to mind, I would come for a short time and do something that is of, use.
Yep, we got it. Jeff.
Coach, that was good there. A little bit of a partial list of stuff, because I'm starting to get stuff now. Dave Culberson here in town has run 2 loads down. Now he's not going anymore. Now the people are still bringing him stuff. He brought me his trailer, enclosed trailer, opened it up. He said, I got stuff in here. Opened it up, and some of it was okay. He said, now some of this stuff you ain't going to want. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm going to pick out what we think we
can. We got to be careful with that. People will give you their junk.
Yeah, there's some junk in this thing that they're dropping. Now everybody is getting a hold of me because he's sending them to me, posting stuff on the internet and a picture of my car lot.
Let's get that truck up and running, Jeff.
He said probably by Saturday I should have that title. There's a problem getting a hold of the title from the original owner.
I get it.
Now, should I tell some of these people, because they're calling me up, what do you need? I would just tell some of these people is book the monetary donation, because we don't, and things change. You know what I mean? Like we were just talking. So who knows? It's just crazy.
Just so you know, folks, we're working right here at Coach Day. I'm sitting on about, guessing now, the neighborhood of $30,000 that you guys have donated. It's a lot of money. But I'm not just going to throw it out here and throw it out there. I'm trying to strategically have this money so it gets to the people, get to their needs. You understand what's going on here? So that's why I say here, God bless all of you for donating. That's why I'm saying, let's all get on the same page here. Let's all get on the same page. And I've said, if you've got a donation and you got a bunch, you want to get it down there and you need to rent a truck or you need fuel, we can help you do that kind of stuff. But I'm not just going to spend money because we have the money, but the money will get spent in the right place at the right time. You with me?
Amen, Coach.
Okay. So just so that you know that's going on. Jeff's working on a big truck right now. I don't know how long it is. It's a long one. Big truck that we can throw stuff in and run back up and down with taking stuff down there. So I love your enthusiasm. Too many chefs spoil the broth. And if you want to get a load and go, go. You want to get a load and go, go. We'll have a truck, we think, by this weekend. And then we have my garage is full of crap. My garage is full of stuff.
Coach, so. It's a box truck, just like you rent a U-Haul, with the ramp you pull out the back, side door on it, and work.
we have a chance to get it at an unbelievable price, and it's all good, man. It's all good. So praise the Lord. All right, can I change gears? Can I change gears right now? I made a note to myself. I think you guys ought to think about this too. First of all, government propaganda is unbelievable. Now, we all know this. All of the media is for the deep state. Tell me you understand that. Please tell me you understand that. All of the media is for
the deep state. I understand that.
All of them, including, dare I say it, Fox News. Sorry. Fox News may have some good guys on there, but for the most part, the efforts of Fox News is not to get the J6 guys out of jail. That's not the focus of it, right? That's not the focus. So we need to begin thinking about this, heaven forbid. What if Harris wins? Have you guys thought about that, the real possibility? I'm going to tell you
that's this. A good point, Coach.
There ain't no way she's winning. But, we've been here before, have we not? We've been here before. And I tried to explain yesterday, and I still don't think we get it. I thought yesterday's show, thank God the Holy Spirit, man. We are so over the target, so over the target. And we are ignorant of Satan's devices. And we don't understand this, that Satan and his minions, they are hell-bent, pardon me, on overthrowing Christ and his kingdom. You guys get that? Do you understand that? That Satan wants to steal God's kingdom. That's at the heart. If there was a mission statement, that would be the mission statement. And Satan will do everything he can with the ultimate goal of destroying God's kingdom, claiming God's kingdom, and he is lining up player after player after player after player after player, and they've been doing it for a long, long time. And we don't get it. The church doesn't get it. We are the other team. We are the restraining order. Now, I'm going to pull up something for me here. So, again, all of this in your head, what if she wins? What if she wins? You say, because she can't win. What if she wins? That's not what I want up there. Pull up for me. Oh, I got so much stuff. Pull up. It's not even right at communism. Pull that up. It's the third or fourth one down. It just says communism. Yeah. Hey, folks. Game plan. I'm just going to run through this real quickly in case we forget. Okay? Just in case we forget, here is their game plan. This was posted by, whatever, on the founding of our nation's 245th birthday, it would be nice to set our eyes on the window displaying blue skies, but out on another window displays storm clouds. Montpelier's decision to cancel any meaningly 4th of July, yada, yada, yada. Government promoting, we have a government promoting critical race theory. Black Lives Matter tells us all we need to do about the ominous clouds. But these movements are Marxist in origin. Folks, at the heart of Marxism is atheism. You get that? At the heart of communism is atheism. The battle going on is liberty against communism. It's a Satan against God. Do you understand it? We still don't get it. So here are 45 goals that in 1963, Congressman Albert Hurlong Jr. read into the congressional record the goals of the communists in 58 years ago? Socialism is seen as the bridge between capitalism and communism. How about we do this? Socialism is the bridge between Christianity and Luciferianism. How about if we say it that way? Would it be okay to say it that way? That's the battle? The battle's never changed? Socialism is seen as a bridge between evil and good? Socialism is what? Huh? So make no mistake, for 53 years, they have been, again, hell-bent on advancing their kingdom, which is anti-Christ. No Christ. We will not have this man rule over us, they said regarding Jesus Christ, and that it has never changed. It's never changed. So we better understand this. Scroll down here. I'm getting bogged down here. Okay, here are their 45 goals. Anybody want to do a check mark? Huh? 45 goals, capture one or both political parties in the United States. We could almost argue as to which one they've captured, couldn't we? Number two, get control of the schools and teachers union. Soften the curriculum. Somebody say check. You don't have to. Gain control of all student newspapers. Infiltrate the press. By the way, what do you think the Christian goals would be? Does anybody have a list of Christian goals? Are we trying to get Christianity into school? No, okay. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity. They call it obscenity, censorship, and a violation of free speech. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in the media. Just somebody do a check. We are not to be ignorant of his devices. There is nothing new under the sun what we're dealing with. I wonder if this has ever been read in the majority of churches. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Nine, infiltrate the churches. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Jesus loves everybody. Mm-hmm. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Time out a minute. We're at nine. Would you all agree with me? All nine of those. By the way, while they're doing that, what's the church doing? What are the goals of the church? Oh, bigger building, more programs, maybe a bus program. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate and old-fashioned. 11, discredit the American founding fathers as selfish aristocrats and racists. 12, folks, this was in 1963. They read this. This one written yesterday. Belittle American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Instead, they took it over. Infiltrate and gain control of big business and the unions. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to children's services. And treat all behavioral problems as mental health or social problems. 16, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Vinny, you ought to be booming. Is your boomer broken?
Boom.
They've done every one of these so far. Where am I? 17, emphasize the need to raise children. Oh, no. Number 18, repeal the Conley Reservation, allowing the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals. Did you see they just ruled? They just passed a law. No, they didn't. An order that it's okay to shoot you guys if you're fighting. If you go back to January 6th, if we do January 6th, number two, they have now passed a executive order that it's okay to shoot you. Did you know that?
Wow.
Okay, so there's 18 goals. Huh? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, there's all 45 goals. There's more of them. There's 45 of them. All of them. And they've done every damn one of them. Well, the church sits around and plays tiddlywinks. Yeah? What if she wins? What if she wins? Phone. Let me turn my phone off here. Thanks, Stephanie. She gave me a thumbs up. Dude, let me pull another one up here for you real quickly. Pull up FEMA's purpose. FEMA's purpose. You find there? Okay. FEMA's the real purpose of FEMA. Scroll down through this. Hey, folks, look. I'm sorry. Spencer, I'm telling you two things at once. The Federal Emergency Management Agency was founded in 1979 under Jimmy Carter administration during the height of a nearly decade-long stagflation. Its stated goal was to centralize all disaster-related efforts under a single top-down entity. Specifically, FEMA ended the more localized. Remember, we used to have civil defense. Anybody remember that besides me? You had your local civil defense, and they'd do air raids, and you'd get under the table at school and cover up your head. It was all local. FEMA said, no, 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 we'll take it over. We'll take it over. So FEMA entered the more civil defense agency, which was focused on community-based emergency response, and it federalized all disaster coordination under a single top-down system controlled by the Oval Office. And then FEMA was eventually placed under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security. Anybody say, boy, that was a good move, creating even more centralization. The reason for FEMA, according to the government, is to aid Americans during and after national level disaster event, anything from earthquakes to hurricanes to terrorist attacks. That said, it should be noted that FEMA was officially created on April Fool's Day. The true purpose of FEMA has long been obscured, but some disturbing truths have been exposed in the past. The declassification of a program called Rex 84, that was the original purpose of FEMA was government control. Scroll down a little bit. I think there's a video here. Scroll down. Yeah. Oliver North. Remember him? Remember Oliver North? Well, let's listen to Oliver North here a minute. Folks, FEMA is big government, big Luciferian government. And it's now coming out.
Boom.
Through all of these disasters, FEMA has been coming and stealing the donations of individual citizens. Did you know that? Did you guys know that? And then if you get down there and you start doing some real research down there in North Carolina, FEMA's the enemy. FEMA's the enemy. They're in total control of everything that goes on. So here's an interview with Oliver North. It's amazing. Go ahead, play it.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage.
Yeah. So FEMA can shut down America, boys and girls. FEMA can shut down America. Okay, now hang on. Spencer, I just sent to you another video. I want you to pull that up. Ronald Reagan. Are you guys sitting down? It's about 2 minutes, I think. When was Ronald Reagan around? 1980? When he elected? Was he elected in 76 through 84? Would that be right? Ronald Reagan?
1980 through 88.
Okay, 82 through 88. Thank you. Okay, listen. Listen. Go ahead.
Someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back. get out of my pocket and let me have more control of my own destiny.
I have spent most of my life as a Democrat. I recently have seen fit to follow another course. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamps to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the anti-totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society. Or, as we were told a few days ago by the President, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. But they've been a little more explicit in the past. And among themselves, and all of the things I now will quote have appeared in print, these are not Republican accusations. For example, they have voices that say the Cold War will end through our acceptance of a not undemocratic socialism. Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state. Or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 20th century. Senator Fulbright has said at Stanford University that the Constitution is outmoded. He referred to the president as our moral teacher and our leader. And he says he is hobbled in his task by the restrictions of power imposed on him by this antiquated document. He must be freed so that he can do for us what he knows is best. And Senator Clark of Pennsylvania, another articulate spokesman, defines liberalism as meeting the material needs of the masses through the full power of centralized government. But I, for one, resent it when a representative of the people refers to you and me, the free men and women of this country, as the masses. This is a term we haven't applied to ourselves in America. But beyond that, the full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We will keep in mind and remember that Barry Goldwater has faith in us. He has faith that you and I have the ability and the dignity and the right to make our own decisions and determine our own destiny. Thank you very much.
That's a boom, huh? That's a boom. Talk about a warning. All right, Kim, come on in.
Boom.
So you talked about what should the church be doing. You know, do we have a list? Well, the first thing I think we should be doing is repenting, of course, and getting as many lukewarm Christians, you know, to step it up here and convince them that, first of all, they need to vote. Because if all the Christians voted for the most for the candidate that most exemplified their values, we would win every election.
That's right. That's right. Second, divide and conquer, though. Divide and conquer.
Number two, we have got to get all the kids, all the Christian kids out of the public schools.
Yep.
Because that's where they are. We're losing our Christian
Kim, future. Wasn't that one of the 45 goals?
Yeah. And they've been doing this since the 1820s. This is not something just a couple decades old. Horace Mann started this in Massachusetts. And there's a great book called Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, written by Alex Newman, who is, he has Liberty Sentinel and he writes for the Epoch Times.
Yeah, we know Alex.
Yeah,
we know
okay. Alex. So anyway, those are two that would go a long, long way.
Amen. Paul Webb.
Hey, Coach. All true what she just said there. That video has a mouthful of stuff on there that it'd take a whole show to talk about. But three things. I'll be real brief because I know a lot of people want to get on. Number one, this may be controversial, but I think it's true. Capitalism and communism are two wings of the same bird.
Mm.
All you have to do is look at China. Most of they're a communist country, but if you see a lot of their businesses they have, their kids run the businesses, and they're making money, okay? And you got a lot of companies in America that go over there and do business in China, you know? Right. Number two, Oliver North, Poindexter, all those people were under Reagan. Now, what happened to Reagan first 6 months he got in office? He got shot. Yep. He was never the same after he got shot.
George Bush was his vice president, who was head of the CIA.
In fact, Reagan was threatened and told, if you do not put Bush as your running mate, you are not going to get elected and we're going to kill you. And he still did it anyway, tried to do it anyway.
Yep.
But Reagan was never the same after that because they drugged him up and they did all kinds of stuff. That's why he had all the stuff happening with Iran-Contra and all that, because he wasn't aware of what was going on because he was out of it. So just thought I'd share that.
Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness, what a show. Judd, come in.
Yeah, this is fire. This is what people need to learn and know. And
we didn't hear that the other night at the Republican thing, did we, Judd? We didn't hear that.
Not at all. Those guys are bought and sold and paid. And the only guy in there, I think Bernie has a chance to be able to be a part of some solutions. But the bigger part is, you know, Gerald Ford, you know, he appointed 1975 George Bush to the CIA.
Yep.
Both of them had long roots of CIA before that. Both of them are responsible and have their hands all over JFK's assassination, which a lot of people don't understand and know. But the main point was when Rockefeller was installed, they turned on this UN agenda and beast for their new world order. We're now in the process of what's happening with all that.
So, Judd, we can go back to the 45 goals that they read in 1963, and we have sat here and watched them execute every one of those goals.
And every one of those has Gerald Ford's John Hancock on them. And when people understand that, yes, 2 days ago, that Kabbalah Harris was endorsed by the Gerald Ford Foundation. When people comprehend and understand that, this has been their plan the entire time.
Amen. It's right out in front of us.
So, Coach, I would endorse us pulling the team together somewhere in the real near future, because the hatches are going to have to be buckled down over the next 2 weeks.
Mm.
And we're going to have to understand what we're going to see on the other side of this, because there is no compromise.
So, Judd, I agree with you. They know that they're not going to win. It appears that the turnout is so great that they're not even going to be able to cheat. This is a dangerous caged animal that we're dealing with, folks, right now. Over the next, is it 2 weeks? Is that what it is? Or 2 weeks out?
Not yeah, and they're already seeing movement of these troops or cells moving all over the country, and they're all up through Missouri and Kansas and all kinds of other places. They're moving. They're seen on people's hunter cameras and deer blinds and all sort of stuff.
About to get real, baby.
It's about to get real. And so now all these people, you got to have your plans in place and just make sure you got your preps.
Amen. Amen. You can come here, bring your own stuff, bring your own food if you come here. Jeff Klein, go ahead.
Coach, we'll just ask for somebody in here this morning before the show's over. Pray for us for tonight here in Mount Vernon. And you know what's weird? This whole thing going down tonight, we got the witches' night out in downtown Mount Vernon tonight. I never thought we'd see this going on in the city of Mount Vernon.
In Mount Vernon. I'm a Mount Vernon Nazarene University.
Yep. And I met with them Christians up there on the square Tuesday night, and none of them act like they're coming back down Thursday. They didn't want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So, and I asked them, why we were rescued to rescue. Why are we not? The kids are going to probably be thick uptown with this stuff going on because it's Halloween. But guess what else is going on at the same time this is going on tonight? This is going to be a hoot. All the politicians will be right there on Main Street at that Republican headquarters because Bernie Moreno is coming in.
Yeah, they'll be dressed as clowns. It'll be perfect.
Well, I'm going to see the witches and the clowns tonight.
Clown mask and put the clown mask.
Help. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, well, Jeff, pray for us tonight. May your efforts be fruitful there, Jeff. God bless you, man. Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. Real quick, that article on FEMA, they did the history of Katrina. And the most important part was do not allow FEMA to confiscate your guns.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. That was one of the first things they did down in New Orleans, wasn't it?
Right.
One of the first things. Thanks, Eileen. Johnny.
Yeah, good morning. If there's a one thing I've been grateful for in my life is the fact that I had to go through the military and experience what it's like to be deployed to another place in comparison to this country. It's one of the only real buckets of cold water that can really wake a person up to appreciate what we have in this country. And because not many of us, not all of us have been in the military, we don't understand that reality because we're submerged in this spoiled country we live in. And so we become complacent, undisciplined,
yes, sir.
And we've become pathetic.
We're pathetic
because we have not done what God has us set out to do. Brother Chad had a great a chart about how societies, generations go through hardship and they get soft and then they become weak and they. You know, it's a revolving door. It just.
Well, Johnny.
Going through without.
The enemy never rests. The enemy doesn't take off Sunday. The enemy has no day of rest.
There's no excuse for where we're at. I mean, we put ourselves here. It's a darn shame.
Amen. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, go get him, Jeff. Remember, folks, it's the words. Somebody just mentioned capitalism as parallel with communism, and that's correct. But what we have is capitalism. It's not really capitalism. It's corporate, monopolistic capitalism.
Corporatism.
Laissez-faire capitalism is the
Jack, you're breaking up, man. You're breaking up.
The opposite of communism.
Amen.
And we don't even know what that means. We don't know what free trade means.
Yeah,
free
trade government regulation. Government regulation is a good thing.
Yeah, that's something new.
Yep. Amen. You're breaking up, Jack. Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. Remember our conversations a few weeks ago. We don't know if the election is even going to happen. But now they're saying, golly, we can't overcome this. Coach, I'm just the parallel. And I was sharing last night with some of the men I brought with me is understanding this. When was abortion at its lowest in the last 20 years? Who was the president? And they would say, oh, it must have been with Bush or it must have been with Trump. I said, no, it was with Barack Obama. Because once we realized that they were in office, the church actually had to get up and do something. Mm. Coach, so the election happens on November 5th. Who's in power on November 6th? Who's in power on December 1st? They are. Who's in power on January 1st? So, Coach, what happens is, this is what the church does. Mark Harrington tied it so perfectly. He goes, Roe is dead. And since Roe, we're 0-7. We have not won anything. We have lost every single battle. So what happens on November 6th. What happens on November 7th? They are still in power. So we think, oh, Donald Trump wins. Let's just say Donald Trump wins. But, Coach, they are still in power till January 21st. And let me tell you what, a lot of things can happen. So buckle up, boys and girls, because I think it's about to be a little bumpy on the ride.
Amen. Beth Jackson, come on in, Beth. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Sorry if I'm breaking up. I'm driving on these country roads. But anyway, I have a question. So if FEMA were to knock on your door, to my understanding, you don't have to let them in. You can tell them to leave. Is that true?
Yes, and tell them to go get the sheriff and come back with the sheriff.
Okay.
They have no authority. They cannot come into your property without the approval of the sheriff. Friends, I've had the FBI visit me. I've had the Secret Service visit me. Literally, in cars, get out of the cars, right? They have no jurisdiction over you without the approval of the sheriff. So I got to tell them, go get the sheriff and I'll talk to you. That's true. That's true. All right. Anybody? Nobody wants, nobody. We went
Dave,
silent.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, Rod.
You don't have to answer the door. You don't even have to acknowledge you're in your house.
That's right.
Believe me, if some stranger comes to my door, I never even pay attention to it. I'm not home, you know, so.
You make the decision whether you answer the door or not, right?
Don't even get in a conversation with them. You don't have to. Just ignore them. Look out your window and ignore them.
That's right. Now, somebody said, they can swatch it. Well, yeah, that's local. SWAT's local, folks.
Well, Coach, I want to jump back in because it was brought up about Katrina and I was here. That's exactly what they did. They didn't have the sheriff. They went door to door and they did. They shocked and awed doors and they broke in your house and took your guns anyway, whether you were home or whether you were not. And it was not the sheriff. It was FEMA federal agents.
Hmm.
I still think the general rule is you don't have to engage them. You don't have to engage them. Don't worry about a conversation or defending yourself. Don't acknowledge your home.
That's right. Amen. 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 Hey folks, look, here's the trouble we have, right? The whole system is corrupted because most people that you deal with on a daily basis believe the federal government has powers that they do not have. They do not have the powers. And so a lot of the times we simply relinquish our power and our authority just because we think we have to, right? Now we also know this, you resist, you tick them off. They'll probably come at you harder. I learned my lesson the hard way, thinking I'm going to cooperate with them and they'll be fair. That ain't the way it works. Randy.
Well, Coach, do we really believe that the Constitution gives us the, do we get our inalienable rights from God or from the government? See, do we really believe that? That's the whole point of everything. Right. So a son of God, as ambassadors of God, of the kingdom of God first, if we will look at our position there and realize, look, you unrighteous people who say you're government, who say you're Americans, who say that you have nothing, you have no jurisdiction here. Okay, we have to use our spiritual standing, Coach, to have authority. If we try to beat them on their own game at their own level, we can't beat them. We have to use our spiritual authority, our position with God, in right standing, righteousness and justice. That's how it works. God, through Christ, he gives us right standing. He gives us this ability. So people, use your spiritual authority. Speak the word of God. Speak God's heart. Speak what God's will is. Speak this. Don't just come at them, oh, I'm tough, I got a big gun. That won't work, Coach. We have nothing over anything if we look at it like that. We have to be spiritual people. That's what trumps everything, Coach.
So, Randy, I'm sitting here this morning, and I do it every morning as I come down here. I thought of Bill Dunphy. Pastor Bill Dunphy's waking up in jail. Think of Paul Gosling. He's waking up in jail. Cal Zastro, Eva Edel, Eva Zastrow, Jimmy Zastrow. I could go down, I could run a litany of people who, can I tell you the truth? They have no rights. They have no rights. Friends, whether you know it or not, the government will determine your rights. And your rights are inalienable, God-given. And the purpose of the first 10 amendments of the Constitution is to limit the government and protect you from overreaching government. And instead, when they removed Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and called it the separation between the church and state, then if Jesus Christ isn't the ultimate authority in your life, in the government, then who is? Joe Biden? Kamala Harris? They're the king? They're the ruler? What happened to government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Well, they get in and they appoint their own judges. Well, what do you mean they appoint their own judges? Yeah, they get in there and they appoint Luciferian communist judges. And then as Luciferian communist judges sit in the courts and rule and reign and support and, what's the word I'm looking for? They support and enforce ungodly edicts. Because the church says we're not going to get involved with politics. That's dirty. I can't vote for Donald Trump. He had sex outside of marriage. I can't vote for him. Yeah, you with me, friends? With me? So where we are right now, Ronald Reagan said it. What did he say? 1,000 years of darkness? You mean to tell me you think the government is going to help you have more rights, more authority? You really think that? You think Kamala Harris and that guy she's running with, they are for more individual rights for you? No. They're for more individual rights if you want to murder babies, or if you want to have sex with another man, or if you want to destroy all, then they're for the government enforcing that. But they're not for the government enforcing morality. So you ask yourself, was Trump? Is Trump? I don't know. It's two card Monty. Who knows? But I know where that other side is. And have you noticed that they're griping, moaning about, boy, if Trump gets elected, well, they're going to be locking us up. He said he's going to be. Folks, are you watching what they're doing right now to God-fearing men and women? Do you see what they're doing right now to God-fearing men and women? They're locking them up. And if they get more power, they'll lock up more.
Amen.
That's the reality of what we're facing. So I started out this morning and said, what if she wins? What if she wins? And I thought about it all day yesterday. Again, when we were at that meeting the other night with all those talkers, I'm going to sneeze. Bear with me here a second. Nobody mentioned J6 or election fraud. It's like it didn't happen. And if Kamala Harris gets elected, there'll be more J6ers. They'll be building bigger, huh? Oh, yeah. See, we don't want to believe it. Who started the idea of locking up detractors? Well, that was the communists did that, didn't they? When we were young kids, didn't we laugh about that? About the Russians, and there was no freedom of speech in Russia, and they were throwing the government's opponents ever throwing them in jail and locking them up, and boy, that's never coming to America. And here we sit right now. And as your church, just curious, has your pastor stood in the pulpit and given a hearty defense of those J6ers who are locked up in jail? Or has he remained silent?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, communism, Nazism, Muslimism, they're all out to destroy us. That's what they want.
Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, the game plan has never changed.
And amen.
Stupid American church, I'm sorry, tells us to love our enemies, which is what Jesus said, but right. Not to let our enemies run over us. There's a difference in those two things, and there ain't no fight in the American church. That's why we're in the mess.
Amen, Coach.
Quickly, Adams. Quickly. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to say, and this is offensive towards everybody, sorry about that, but the church is full of spiritual retards. They're people that are so busy focusing on the watered-down gospel that they forget to become men and women of God.
Amen, brother. Huh?
Boom.
It's an army, man. We're at a war. We're at a critical point in this war. See you tomorrow.